Who that was, Shrimp City Slim and Desperately Old Fashioned. But you know what? The older we get, the longer we got to work, and many of us want to continue working. I plan to just die right here with this microphone in my hand. But we got to change in order to keep working. And my next guest, Cash Dickerson, is written a book on boomerangs, engaging the aging workforce in America. So how are you doing today, Cash?
I'm good, Ann. How are you?
Very good, very good. So how'd you like our Go Vintage song here, Desperately Old Fashioned?
I really enjoyed it.
Well, good. You know, you have been in the workforce, it looks like, for a good many years. You've worked in a lot of different aspects of it. So why did you write the book to begin with?
I wrote the book because I was noticing increasingly that people were getting closed out of the workforce at a certain age and had a strong desire to remain in it. And employers were just deciding they were too expensive and just trying to get them to sort of take voluntary retirements and buyouts. And they were doing this at an age that at one time maybe made sense when we didn't live as long, but now people are living so much longer. And they want to be productive in those years, as you said, you would like to be. And we just have no accommodation for them. The system hasn't changed since longevity has changed. So just real quickly, in 1930, when right before Social Security Act was passed, several years later, life expectancy in the United States was 56 for a male and 62 for a female. And then retirement was set at 65. If you look now, I just had a granddaughter born. She has a 50% chance of living to 100. And yet nothing has changed. We still have kind of this concept of the workplace that you work, retire, and die. But there's a lot of runway for people now because we're living so much longer.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we were talking about when Social Security was introduced, what a hard sell that had to have been, because you were supposed to work till 65, yet as you said, men didn't even live that long. So how do you sell Social Security on that aspect?
Yeah, it's and if you look at the view that they had back then in terms of what kind of money would be spent and how many workers there were compared to people who were retired, there were 159 workers for each retired person when Social Security was originally passed. So almost 160 for one. That number now is 2.9 to 1 and goes to 2 to 1 by 2030. So imagine what a difference, and yet there's been no fundamental changes to those laws.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that that you are advocating is a change in what law, or did you want to change?
The Age Discrimination Act. The Age Discrimination and Employment Act is designed and came out of the civil rights era, so it was passed just as if, you know, it was like gender, male, female, or African-American, Caucasian, you know, like an on-off switch.
Sure.
You know, and the fact is, it just says you can't discriminate against older people, anybody over 40. Well, in fact, age is not an on-off switch. Maybe at one time it was you were young or old, but now you're in the new era of longevity. We need employers and employees to be able to talk about scaling back, and those kinds of conversations can't happen because the Age Discrimination Act makes that illegal. And the act isn't working for people anyway, because you can get rid of someone in the workplace as an employer if you have some reasonable factor other than age. And generally speaking, there's a lot of them, like you're too expensive or you cost a lot from a benefits perspective. So it's not a law that's working for us, and it's not a law that permits employers and employees to say, hey, you know what, maybe I want to downscale my hours over time, you know? And those conversations are important. We need to be able to have them new so that new structures can come out for employers and employees.
Sure. You know, one of the things that I thought was real interesting, our lieutenant governor here talks about the gray tsunami that is coming to South Carolina because we have so many retirees moving into our state. I just wondered, you use that same term in your book.
Yes.
Yes. Where did the term come from?
The gray tsunami has been a term that's out there, but you don't hear it very often. It's one of those things that, you know, we say it's like a tsunami, but it's really more like a glacier because it's just happening every day, and it's not like a crisis that anybody focuses on. When you hear the numbers and you say, okay, well, there were 1.7 million people, let's say, over the age of 65 back in 1880. And now, okay, so 1.7 million. And now imagine in just a few years that number is going to be 80 million people over 65. That's a gray tsunami.
Yeah.
But it's happened slowly. But yes, the gray tsunami is a reality.
Sure. Well, our lieutenant governor is very passionate about the elder population and what is happening with him. And when I read that in your book, I was like, well, we talk about the same thing right here in South Carolina. You know, one of the other things that I thought is very interesting, we have a lot of retirees here, and actually we have a program over at our college here where they use docents, people that have all this vast experience, and they have saved the college. Now, it's all voluntary. They don't actually get paid for this, but they certainly contribute to the bottom line of saving the college money. So right there, it proves it works. To let elder people, people that still want to give something, and it's helped their college, our college, immensely here in South Carolina.
Well, I compliment the college and I compliment the state because being ahead of this will mean you are on the right side of it and you utilize the talents. I mean, there's some skill sets that are in short demand when the boomers retire, if we don't keep them in the workplace, including important things to our national security, like aerospace and defense.
Sure.
The number of engineers that will retire, half of all those engineers are eligible for retirement now.
Yeah. So this sounds like it's a fascinating book. It's called The Boomerangs, Engaging the Aging Workforce in America. And Dr. Nancy Morrow said it's a must-read for every baby boomer in America. You know, I thought it was also very interesting. Some of the things that you thought would help keep this baby boomer generation young. I don't think we have a problem with being young, but sometimes we get a little staid in our ideas. For example, you say not to talk about your health issues. Boy, as people age, isn't that something they want to talk about?
It is true, and it gets made fun of in movies because it's so common. People come to, you know, relatives come to Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever holiday, and the first thing they start talking about is their latest procedure or whatever. In the workplace, that's just really bad for you because then people brand you as old, and, you know, it hurts your integration into the workforce.
Sure. And let's see, another one you had, Dress for the Now. That's an interesting one, too.
It is, because, you know, we, especially if you're re-entering the workforce, you've got a wardrobe. Things have changed so rapidly. There was a story that I recount in there of a man who wanted to get a job in the Silicon Valley, had worked in the Silicon Valley before, and but at a time when they were wearing suits and he couldn't get a job, he went out and he just paid attention to what people were wearing. And he's 60 years old. He went out and bought a pair of Converse sneakers and dressed like they dressed and was hired in a week.
Yeah. See? makes a difference, doesn't it? And what are some of the others? Just how about give me two more out of this that are big issues that you think for the boomerangs to stay employed if they want to be employed?
Yeah, I think our attitude towards younger people in the workplace is important. And that is, if, you know, they sometimes will just look like our children. And if we treat them like children, you know, that's not good for us. And they're really not. There's this concept called transference, that you bring your personal views into the workplace and your personal relationships, and you have to be careful. You might end up working for someone much younger than yourself, and so you have to find a way to treat them not as children, to treat them as fellow coworkers, because they're very sensitive about how you view them. And also, I think, you know, it's important to not tell war stories about what it was like 30 years ago, because they really, you know, people just glaze over. Be in the now, participate in the now, be a part of today's workforce, hang out with your fellow workers, even if they're 20, 30 years younger, and you'll be fine.
You know, we have our other local college here is a technical school, and one of the issues that we talk about here is the fact of what the young person that's in class, let's say the 20 to 25-year-old, and then the displaced worker who has gone back to school, 55 and let's say up, is back trying to find a new career for themselves, and what actually can happen in that relationship, where the younger students help the older students, and the older students are able to help the young people understand about the workforce, and it's been some good stuff happening out there.
You know, Ian, that's so well said. We have this layer of cake in the workplace now in terms of age, four generations in the workforce for the first time in our history. And each has a unique perspective and unique skills. The younger can help the older with technology. The older can help the younger with things like how to write a letter. There are so many skills, right? Isn't it true?
Yeah, all right. And the other, and the younger generation can help the older generation how to do a text, and don't worry about how you write it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's right. So there's some wonderful common ground and some wonderful exchanges of generational knowledge that could take place if people facilitate those kinds of things. They need facilitation. Some will happen naturally, like it is at the college you mentioned.
Sure. So, you know, I think that a lot of this, and from what I've read, I haven't read the whole book. I've read parts of it. I enjoyed reading it. But this, the other thing is, while you want to be paid a fair wage for what you do as an elder person, your experience and everything, you also may want some flexibility in the job. So you may now have to negotiate how much you actually make at this job.
Yes, that is one of the flexibilities that is so important that we have, because boomers want to keep working. As you said, you want to keep working. I want to keep working. I've been in the workforce 30 years. I want to work for another 20, 30 years. But I want to do it on my terms. And the boomers I talk to, they want to do it on their terms. They don't want to necessarily work overtime. And they don't necessarily want to work 40 hours a week or necessarily 12 months a year. And so these kinds of flexibilities, which are not currently baked into our workplace or our legal and employment structures, those are really important for the workplace of the future.
Sure. And I think a lot of employers, if they were free to talk about that, would say, yeah, you know, the middle of the summer, we don't need any help, but we sure could going into the holiday season, for example. I'm in retail here. So these would make a difference.
Exactly.
And I guess it's all about being able to have that communication. But your major point here in the book is that we can't have this conversation because of age discrimination.
That's right. I'd have to offer the program to everybody in the company. But everybody in the company doesn't want it. It's kind of silly. You know, so, yes, that's
kind of like the affordable health care where we all have to have pregnancy benefits.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, I like to tie things together. Well, it's a great read. Now, where can you get this book, Cash?
The best and easiest place. It's available both in Kindle and our hard copy at Amazon.com.
Amazon.
Just go to Amazon and put in Cash Nickerson or Boomerangs and Cash Nickerson. It'll pop right up.
Well, I wish you all the success, Cash Nickerson. I just need to ask you, how'd you get that as a first name, Cash? Was your dad or mom planning on big things for you?
Yes, it was my mother. She was selling vacuum cleaners at JCPenney in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's not well known, but his middle name was Cash, James
right.
Cash Penny.
JCPenney Cash. You are absolutely
yeah.
correct. How about that? And was she right on this?
Well, yes, it's been going very well. I love my mother, and I'm really proud that she gave me that name, and I'm doing my best.
You're doing your best. Well, thanks so much for calling us, Cash Nickerson, and I wish you all the best with your book, Boomerangs, Engaging the Aging Workforce in America. Thanks so much for calling us today. Actually, I'll thank me for calling you.
Yes, thank you, Anne. I really enjoyed chatting.
All righty. You have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, well, there you go, Cash Nickerson, Boomerangs, Engaging the Aging Workforce in America. So if you'd like to get a copy of it, it's a good read. It's an easy read. Get it at Amazon. You can download it to your Kindle, or you can order it on Amazon. It'll be there in a jiff.